Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Believers, we are here talking season 3, episode 17, The Gauntlet. We're talking vampires, we're talking spiders, we're talking Texans, and we're talking machines. So stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, God. You guys and your music choices. This is phenomenal. Guys, I don't know if you know, but they always surprise me with the music choices here on the Lucha Underground After Show, right here on AfterBuzz TV, and it's always a delight. Of course, this being the Gauntlet theme, I don't know if you were awares or not, but this is the Gauntlet theme. Very fitting for Season 3, Episode 17, The Gauntlet. As I said, we are right here on the Lucha Underground After Show, right here on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me on social media at Ty Matthews PMA. Rachel Evans normally is right here in between Jimbo and I. She is in Tejas.
Oh, honey.
Currently, right now. Oh, honey. She's in Texas. Very, very fitting. Tejano, her absolute favorite wrestler, main eventing tonight's episode. But joining us, firstly, the lovely and talented documentarian that he is, Jimbo in the booth normally, and right now he's Jimbo in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jimbo Frank.
Hi. Hey, Nani Nani is what I feel like saying after that.
I like it. You know what? I like that.
I like it.
And of course, joining us on the ones and twos, manning our trusty soundboard, Nancy. Of course, Mr. Mark B. Donica.
I keep forgetting that we called it Nancy.
We didn't. I also keep forgetting to credit who came up with that.
You're a monster.
It's Nancy. Do you know why she's Nancy?
Go ahead. Tell us, Ty. Story time with Ty.
Soundboard in Espanol is whatever board is, de resonancia. Thus, Nancy for short.
Okay.
If you're nasty.
All right.
Nancy, if you're nasty. That's how we do here on the Lucha Underground After Show.
Oh, snap!
Yes! God, that's my favorite drop. Well, let's get into this episode because, as usual, there's so much to get into. We've got Dark Puma right now.
Yeah.
We've got Vampiro in evil master form returning.
Yeah.
To guide Prince Puma through
Hail
the underworld
Rider of Vampiro,
exactly,
would say.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. He's guiding Prince Puma on this new journey through the underworld, finding this new edge. This, you know,
on this day.
No, absolute favorite theme song as butt rock as it is. I love it so much. It's super buddy. It's super super like butt ish. Real butt.
I'm surprised Nickelback didn't sing.
Absolutely. If you guys, if you've ever seen me on the Monday Night Raw after show on of course Monday nights, I talk a lot about the WWE's love of butt rock, and just because that term for one makes me laugh, and they also do. Yes, exactly. The buttest of rock. So butt. Alter Bridge is mostly Nickelback. It was mostly Nickelback.
No, it's mostly Creed.
No, it's mostly Creed. That's what it is. Alter Bridge was mostly the members of Creed, but with a new singer.
Oh.
That's what Alter Bridge is. It's a great song, don't get me wrong. It's super butt. Anyway, regardless, let's get back into Vampiro and Prince Puma. Vampiro tells Prince Puma that he must pledge himself to his dark master, which Prince Puma does.
This is when he has him by the throat.
Yes. And then Prince Puma busts out that straight up Avengers style superhero pose and says, "I do, master."
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
We've got a whole lot of darkness going around, y'all. Kicking off tonight's card, we've got Jeremiah Crane taking on Mil Muertes, accompanied by Katrina.
Ooh,
man.
It's crazy because this was like a hoss battle.
It was super, super hossy and short. It was short but sweet.
And I was surprised because Jeremiah is not the tallest guy. Like, sure. He's a big dude, but he's not the tallest guy.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, like, for the two of them to go toe-to-toe, like the Hoss battle it was, I was like, oh, man.
Well,
this guy's a big boy.
And Jeremiah
Cannonball Sammy over
Jeremiah Crane is just, like, waiting to get fired out of that corner before they ring the bell. Like,
two pump kicks.
They hit that bell, and he comes out hot.
He
put some mustard on those bicycle kicks right out the gate.
It was a bicycle.
It's very, very good. The torque that Mil Muertes gets on that power slam,
that
too.
That was gnarly. I also like when Mil Irish whips him into the corner. I thought he was going to take, like, the chest into the corner and then feet out and get the clothes on.
Right,
like,
right.
Raven used to do that. And, like,
yes.
Billy Kidman used to do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
DDP.
Anyone,
WCW guys.
Anyone that faced DDP usually, like, that was a classic DDP spot.
Because, like,
take the
Bret Hart into the buckles.
Take the Bret Hart buckle to the chest and then feet up for the clothesline.
Yeah.
Right.
So when he went in and then didn't come back out, and Miller charged in with the clothesline,
just like, all right,
like, oh,
I'm just going to straight up donkey punch you in the corner. My man. Just bink. That's right. Exactly.
Bump on the Reaper's trident.
Oh, my God. Right off the bat.
He folded him in half.
So he comes out of that corner with the pair of bicycle kicks and then just gets just murked with that Reaper's trident.
Yeah.
Just straight up. Right on his neck.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. It's like we said, it was Hossy, but it was pretty short. Katrina signals for the end. She
doesn't lick him, but she licks her finger and
it's
runs,
like,
it down his face.
You know, like transitive property, like if A plus B or whatever. I don't know.
But it wasn't the lick of death. It was the tongue, like the finger tongue of, like, immense harm.
It was almost like the wet willy of death is kind
of. But not of death, because licking is death.
Sure. Right.
Wet willy of pain.
It was the wet willy of. Yeah, I like what you said.
I like what you said.
But
thanks, Ty.
Mil Muertes takes that cue, goes for that flatliner, but here comes Dark Puma with a kendo stick in tow, and just beats the piss out of Mil Muertes.
He's going for it.
Yep.
Swing for the fences.
And all behind referee Rick Knox's back, who is distracted by Katrina at ringside, leading to Jeremiah Crane hitting a final bicycle kick for the win. For the upset win, some might say.
Yeah. And then he gets the hell out of Dodge.
Just bolts, gets out of there. Now, do we think that that distraction was on purpose?
Like, she's starting to fall back in love with him?
I'm thinking so. I'm thinking she might be getting kind of bored of Mel.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pasquale.
Yeah.
Mark, what do you think?
I mean, you can promise somebody that you can bring them back to life 1,000 times, so many times, before you realize, wow, that's a lot of times I'm going to be bringing him back from
true.
The dead.
That's very, very true.
I think it would make Mil more interesting if he was a dog without a leash. I think that would lead to a much more destructive Mil Muertes.
Sure.
Whether that means it would be he wouldn't be brought back to life anymore if he goes back to being Pasquale would be interesting. But him just Mil Muertes without a leash could be. Imagine all of the dead cameramen.
I just picture like
cameraman.
In TNA when they made Abyss Joseph Park.
Right.
Hey, like, why don't we not do that? That'd be great.
The human equivalent. Pasquale's
he's got his hair all long down. And he's in like a suit.
He's just kind of like a wiener.
Hey,
like,
guys, I'm here to show up to the temple. I believe this is the temple, right?
He's like he,
Mr. Cueto.
Pasquale was
that Mr. Cueto?
He's
need
like
pictures, guys.
He's the guy that's responsible for like the books, and Cueto gave him the curse mask just to kind of like shut him up, and he turned into a monster.
Yeah,
I love that. I want that. That's our official AfterBuzz headcanon, guys.
He's the bookkeeper.
He's just, you know, he's just kind of like
he's got the little like, visor.
Yeah, keeps an eye on all the money.
The green visor. The old timey lamp.
I don't think we should be spending all this money on blood altars, Mr. Cueto.
That skull throne is gonna cost you.
Yeah.
We're gonna get audited. Skulls?
Are these real skulls?
That's you the know, third casket this month.
You know you can't kill people, right, guy?
We can't afford all these caskets.
Hey, bud. Hey, dude. How many people have you killed for this chair?
God.
It's coming out.
I like this. Good. Brand new comic series, guys.
What was the WWE Pasquale Slam
the,
City?
Pasquale the Accountant. Slam City.
It's like Slam City for Lucha
Slam
Underground.
Slam City was pretty dope. Mark, I almost called you Nick.
Hey, what's up?
Mark.
Tony.
You got it. Were you manning the ones and twos last week when I was positing my theory about Jeremiah Crane also possibly being a deadman?
No, I think that was Jimbo. Because we were sort of shorthanded for the holidays.
That's right. So,
tell me.
As I said, my theory, based on Jeremiah Crane's interaction with Katrina last week, is that Jeremiah might also be a deceased person. Because he had that Ouija board that he fished out of the ceiling in Dario's office. And I believe he said to Katrina, do you remember when we used to play with this when we were kids? And we know it's been established that Katrina is several hundred years old. So does that mean they were both kids at the same time?
Oh, hell to the law!
It's possible. It'd be interesting. I wonder where Jeremiah Crane fits in a Mexican village.
Because he is... This is true.
I saw you from the village.
This is true.
But he
wears a little stone.
Yeah.
A little stone around his neck. That I am pretty sure was taken from the same earthquake.
Yeah.
What if the stones contain the memories of the lost souls and he is currently inhabited with one?
Interesting. Okay. And we've got more. We've got
like
more
he's
to talk
the vessel?
About. We've got more yeah. to talk about RE vessels and inhabiting bodies later on in this episode.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You know? Moving on, we've got Sexy Star backstage. She runs into Ricky Mother Effing Mandel.
Hey, mister.
One of my absolute favorite people, just humans in life, but also characters on this show, because they're committed so hard to making him such a goober at this point, and it's my favorite. Like, he and Vinny Massaro are kind of two of my favorite NPCs in this whole universe. But she runs into Ricky Mandel, and he's kind of like fangirling out a little bit over Johnny Mundo.
A little bit.
Just all over her, really. He's just basement flooded. If Rachel were here, I feel like that's what she would say. He says to her, you know, it's okay that you lost to Johnny Mundo. And then he has to add on a bunch of times because he's the best.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man, we got it. We got you super, super dig Johnny's whole sitch.
You tell with your look and
his
your
whole
headband.
Sitch. Exactly.
Your threads.
He's doing a very kind of single white female sort of thing.
Oh, it's such a good
right
movie.
Right now, right? But he's kind of fangirling over Johnny Mundo. Sexy Star isn't really quite sure how to take it.
I got a gift for you.
He gives her a gift that he found backstage, and it's note. It's super not creepy at all. It just says Sexy Star in, like, the ransom note style of cutout magazine letters. Which, like, is really an art form that needs to be brought back in 2016.
Yeah. Why don't more people do that?
Right?
It should be, like, a Instagram filter.
The ransom note?
The ransom note.
I like that.
That would be terrible.
I super did that.
It's the ransom post.
No, it's Snapchat on Halloween where instead of just regular text, it looks like a ransom note.
There you go. We're on to something, y'all.
That's so good.
Of course, as soon as you see a gift in any kind of pro wrestling, you know something not good is going to happen. It's Chekhov's gift, guys. If a gift appears in the first act, it has to be opened in the third
with
the
spider,
and also be very deadly and dangerous because there's a spider.
Yeah,
there's a spider, as we've seen, having been cursed. Sexy Star over the last couple weeks. She is vexed by arachnids.
You eight-legged freaks!
That's what she says whenever she sees a spider.
Of course. Maybe that's why David Arquette was there, and he is
brought
the
some
fucking spider.
Oh my god, Jim, you piece of garbage.
Full
you
circle,
know,
man.
There's not many former WCW champions that have been in the temple, but he is one of them.
And he's had dealings with eight-legged freaks before.
I will reign supreme.
That movie, not only is that movie dope, but that's also like my favorite commentary track of all time. I don't know if I've talked about it on this show before, but the Ready to Rumble commentary track is brilliant, and you would be doing yourself a disservice if you did not check it out.
It's like, we legit punch Macho Man in the face
right here. It's great because Amit Zappa is on the commentary track, and he's only in like three minutes of that movie. It's great. Moving on. You know, we've talked about the tropes of Lucha Underground before. Of course, we would be remiss if we did not mention that one of them is lifting weights, because we find Tejano getting those benches in, getting those bench presses in, when he's approached by Famous B and the beautiful Brenda, and they want to make Tejano famous.
Who wouldn't want to make him famous?
Right?
Other than Rachel.
Sure. She's not so down for it. She's okay with him not being famous. But regardless, Famous B wants a new client. He wants Tejano to be famous.
Not a bad choice.
Tejano, you know, he takes it not so well. At first, he's a little insulted. Then it seems like he maybe relents, maybe thinks about it. I love that. These backstage segments with Famous B are kind of getting into this meta territory where they're very often breaking the fourth wall. Like, we saw the 423 Get Fame appear several times at the bottom of the screen just in this segment. And between that and, like, the infomercial music, it's taking on a very meta flavor.
I love it.
I like it a lot. Tag team action! We got a tag team match. Tag team alert. You know what's... Thank you, Teddy. Thank you, Teddy. We haven't busted that one out in a while. On Raw or here. It's tag team action. It's PJ Black and Jack Evans taking on Son of Havoc and Angelico, two-thirds of two different former Trios champions teams. Wow. Right?
Yeah.
And one of which, Matt Stryker so astutely points out, are two-time Trios champions, instead of Havoc and Angelico. If people aren't following Jack Evans and Angelico on the indies, they are also frequently tag team partners, which they reference in this match. I don't know if many people in the temple got that, but there's a reason their gear is virtually identical.
And there's a reason they could go, like, hold for hold, that whole, like, back and forth they were going. And it's like, yeah, I know all the shit you do.
Exactly.
Because we're a tag team.
They've got great, great sequences, because it's essentially like, I don't know, it's like Eddie Gordo versus, I don't know, who's a famous breakdancer? I literally cannot think of one.
Eddie from Tekken?
That's Eddie Gordo. Oh, okay. That's Eddie Gordo. He's both. It's Eddie Gordo versus Eddie Gordo.
Eddie Gordo versus Christine, I think, was the other Muay Thai person that they
okay.
used.
Okay, okay, okay. It's my thinking...
Versus the guy from Only the Strong?
Oh, right, exactly. No, wait, right, exactly. It's basic. My thinking is it's Capoeira versus Breakin. That's what I'm getting at. And Helico, with his long, wiry limbs, throws out a lot of Capoeira-like motions.
Oh, man, who are the guys' names in Breakin'?
I have no clue.
Oh, man, it's going
to no idea. We drop...
Enzo? Enzo was one of them.
Was it one of them?
Enzo was one
In Breakin' or Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo?
In Breakin'.
Breakin', okay. The OG Breakin'.
The OG Breakin'.
Got it. But the point is, there's a lot of back and forth going on. They can match each other move for move. A lot of good stuff's happening. There's, you know, lots of tag team action. But it looks like, and it sucks because it seems like it's the exact same thing that happened with Ivelisse. And Helico's coming off of one injury, and it looks like he gets stricken with another. Then it is looking pretty legitimate.
Yeah,
he goes for what looks like a springboard knee. Looks like he might have. At first they think he hyperextended his elbow. Looks like he might have dislocated his shoulder. In actuality, what were you gonna say?
So when he does this springboard, it was like such a cool move,
right?
That like I didn't even realize he screwed up.
Exactly.
Like,
I thought
that was like his way of doing like. Because most of the time when people do a springboard knee, one knee is like fully extended from the other one, and they do like. What looks like someone running.
Sure.
To where, like, one knee that they're hitting with is way out in front of the other. This is like, he goes to springboard, both legs are on the rope, and he just springs with both legs still together and, like, kneed him that way. So it was kind of like when Puma does his jumping clothesline.
Sure,
but
sure,
he
sure.
did it with his legs.
It was weird.
I thought
yeah.
it was badass. I was like, oh, man, that was such a cool knee.
I'm wondering if it might have happened on the springing, pole. On the actual springboard itself.
Ooh.
Before even the moment of impact. Yeah. Because he goes down and he pretty much stays down. It looks like he's kind of taken out of commission right there.
Pops out when he springboards, and when he hits the mat, it pops
it just
back
pops
in.
Back in. Stuff like that happens. It's the weirdest thing. But he's out of commission. Jack Evans hits a pretty hasty middle rope Phoenix splash for the win. So hopefully, I mean, this was obviously
ticked
a long time ago. Hopefully he's okay by now.
Did you see the picture of like him laying on the gurney and they cut off his gear?
No, what?
Oh, sad.
Really?
I'll tweet it to you.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, and like I think he wrote like, saddest part about this is they had to cut off my gear.
Right?
like
and that's
his
dope
whole,
gear.
Like, yeah, it's all just cut open in the middle.
His
of,
whole
like,
motocross
the mask
deal.
Is flipped open and you see his chest. Oh, it's so sad.
It's,
it reminded me of that scene in The Wrestler when Randy the Ram's like getting his stuff back from the hospital and he like pulls his gear out. It's just like cut to shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
He just fucking throws it away.
Man, I need to revisit that film.
Jam.
Sexy Star is convinced that it's Mariposa. That's leaving these spiders.
Why? She's a butterfly.
Butterflies.
This is a spider.
Sexy Star.
It's just to throw her off.
Not all creatures. Hashtag not all creatures are the same.
Yeah.
Like butterflies aren't arachnids. It's not her deal. Mm. If there's anything we know about the people in the temple, it's that they stay on brand.
Yeah.
They have a reputation to uphold, and they're not gonna sully it with gross things like spiders.
Especially when they have a badass butterfly.
Exactly. Mariposa even said, I wouldn't deal with something ugly like a spider.
Yeah.
I deal with things that are beautiful, like butterflies. Even though her gear like is kind of more like mothy, it's more kind of like gross scene like mothy, but still, it's the principle of the thing.
What if we get a leather butterfly?
What if we get Mimi Situ from Jungle to Jungle?
Oh my god.
And he's got the spider.
Jesus Christ, Jimbo. You're like a bottomless well of like obscure mid-90s film.
Man,
references.
Do your muscles hurt from all of the pulling you're doing?
God, Mimi Siku. I haven't heard that
name. It's cat pee.
Probably since I saw that film in theaters.
Such a classic.
I was a very... I took
the fire from the statue.
One of my early childhood crushes was Lily Sobieski because of that movie.
Oh, yeah. So cute.
But that leads us into our main event of the night, Tejano versus Cage in match 4 of the best of 5 series. Now it goes by pretty quickly. We see an exposed turnbuckle. We see a whole lot of blood. The Crimson Mask, as Gordon Solie might say,
yeah.
from Cage, followed by a sit-out Liger Bomb from Tejano for the win, tying the series at 2-2. But
here comes Boss Man.
But it's the episode's not just over yet. As you might have seen by the fact that there were 20 minutes remaining when the main event ended. But Dario Cueto steps out of his office and he says, you know what?
Let's go.
Let's just finish the series tonight.
Bring it on.
Let's go ahead and have match 5 right now.
Why not?
Despite the fact that Cage is barely conscious, just pouring buckets of blood. We're going to have match 5, and you know what? It's going to be anything goes. And what ensues is a whole lot of Tejano just beating the hell out
of Cage. Going ham on Cage.
Like, I don't think we've ever seen Cage take a beating like this before, which I think is exactly what Tejano needed. I think Tejano, up until this point, he's been doing really good stuff, but I don't think people were taking him as seriously as other competitors in the temple. Weirdly, the Famous Beast segment was like weirdly prescient in that it was kind of the truth. Like, people are cheering for Cage a lot more, even though they're kind of both good guys. Like, people aren't really taking Tejano that seriously, so I think he needed this instant of just beating one of the temple's strongest characters in Cage all over the place. That's exactly right. Without a whole lot of retribution.
I loved all the battles in the bleachers.
Oh, so
like
much.
The slams on the bleachers, the crossbody off the railing.
Well,
like,
the suplex in the bleachers looked like it almost wasn't going to happen.
Like,
it looked like, it was heavy. But, and those bleachers are not forgiving. We've experienced that. They're not forgiving bleachers.
How do you learn how to fall on a 20-foot bleacher seat.
I was just referencing that today, like mere hours ago. I was talking to a friend of mine, just a little side note, little tangent. Those Don't Try This at Home promos. Now, do you remember the OG one with like Austin and Brett and Sean?
Broke my freaking neck.
It was so much more hostile. It was like much angrier. Like, hey, if you think this isn't real, go fuck yourself. Yeah. That's basically what it was saying. Whereas now it's like, all right, we're going to level with you. It's not that real, but it's super dangerous. It's not that real, though. It's super dangerous, though. Like, it's such
the injuries are real.
It's such a sharp tonal shift. The reason I started thinking about it is because when we had Rey Mysterio in studio, which you can go check out at the AfterBuzz TV YouTube channel, all I could think about was his voice.
Seven surgeries in my left knee.
My left knee. Right. I love Rey. That was such a classic part of that promo.
And then it's just like
identifying
careers ended in an instant, and they fucking show the clip of Owen Hart getting carted out. It's like, really, guys? Do we really need to go there? Do you have to remind us of that?
Oofa doofa. Oh. But yes, I was just really enjoying the sharp tonal shift.
Imagine if Lucha did one of these and be like, don't have seances. Like,
oh my God.
Do not try and possess people at your house.
That's all I want now. Don't disappoint your boss or you might get your head eaten by his god monster of a brother. <Da-na-na-na>.
More
God.
Sorry, I was trying to fight it. Here we go.
There you go. You got it. You got it. God, that would be incredible.
That would be so funny.
A Lucha Underground Don't Try This at Home would be absolutely phenomenal.
Or like just make it.
Right? Can we just make that?
Or like an HR video? Like, sexual advances may be frowned upon, and there's like Katrina like about to lick. Yeah, who did this to you?
The Willie Mac eyes have to be part of absolutely everything.
There could be nonverbal contact as well. Eyes.
Just a shot of every like glow, like glowering stare that we've seen in the show.
An entire second about Mil Muertes attacking cameraman.
Cameraman, are your friend?
Cameraman, are your friend?
The men's room is not where you should eat your pizza.
For sanitary reasons, we ask that you keep all food eating into the cafeteria and avoid the men's room.
It is not where
always be spotted when you're doing curls in the gym.
Make sure the cameras are rolling while doing curls in case somebody comes in and says, hey.
The men's room is not where to eat a cheese pizza.
A cheese pizza.
I've been on a big Home Alone 2 kick. Tim Curry.
A whole cheese pizza for me.
Cheese pizza. Where the hell are we? No, yes.
They're in the second match.
So, the second match, the fifth match in the series of five, Deano just whooping the hell out of the man they call Cage, the machine called Cage, just throwing him into chairs and suplexing him all over the place, beating him with that sandpaper snake, as Matt Stryker likes to call it. That could probably be in the HR video,
too. It's a snake.
It's a slippery snake.
A slippery little snake.
Oh, we got a new member of the snake tribe.
The sandpaper snake.
That's the name of their softball team.
Cobra Moon.
Cobra Moon and the sandpaper snake.
They just, like, stare at it. When are you going to say something?
She thinks it's, like a long-lost god that's, like, materialized. Yeah.
He all sets a Drago free.
Guys, I think we've got I know we're still in the middle of season three, but with this and Mil Muertes, I think we've got a solid heading for season four.
We've got, guys, put your pencils down. We'll take it from here with Pasquale the Accountant and the Sandpaper Snake.
Pasquale the Accountant.
That's what that season's unofficially going to be
undercover
called.
Undercover Boss, Lucha Underground Undercover Boss.
It's still Mil Muertes in full gear.
You son of a bitch. Is that the show with John Taffer?
No, that's Bar Rescue. Bar Rescue.
That's what I was thinking.
Shut it down. Shut it down now.
Undercover Boss would be incredible because I want to see Dario Cueto dressed as anything but Dario Cueto.
It's like when Ric Flair was on a Celebrity Wife Swap and they just put a mustache on him.
Did they?
You haven't seen that?
No!
Dude, they sent him out in public and they're like, you're too recognizable. We need to dress you up. And they put They put like a sleazy black mustache on him, and he's like, I look ridiculous.
Did he still have his platinum hair? What?
He's got like a baseball cap?
What in the... No. Look at this. Can't be a thing.
This is real life. This is real.
Mark, let me know when our viewers can see this magic.
In just a moment.
Because this is one of the most insane things I've ever seen. Like, I'm trying to think... Oh, God. It looks like it was cut out of construction paper.
No, it looks like Play-Doh.
It looks like someone molded that onto his face. And he looks so mad.
And it's not like he doesn't woo in public. He's Ric Damn Flair.
Oh, God. He looks so bummed. Oh, this is phenomenal.
He's I like, all right, I'll wear the mustache, but I'm carrying my title belt.
The second this show ends, I'm watching this, because that is absolutely
so good.
Unreal.
It's really good, but really sad, because it's like him and Mick Foley.
Oh, God.
And, like, Mick Foley can't put a sock on.
Didn't Mick Foley also do a wife swap with, like, Gerardo? That sang Rico Suave? Am I making that up? I'm pretty sure that was... No. No, I think Gerardo swapped with Cisco that sang the thong song.
Disappointed!
They're very easy to mix up, guys.
There was another wrestler that was on
Piper.
Wife
Swap. I'm pretty sure Piper was on.
Yeah.
Was it Piper?
Yeah. Okay.
Piper and him did the...
Was Gerardo involved in any of this?
Are you talking about Lucha Underground or Celebrity Wife Swap?
Either, really.
Gerardo, coming season four.
Was he the renegade?
Was it Cisco? Did Gerardo wife swap with Cisco?
Like Mr. Cisco?
Mr. Cisco?
No. Cisco with a Q. Cisco.
Cisco.
Of the thong song fame. I don't know.
Ty, we'll figure this out later.
Yeah.
We're talking about Lucha Underground.
It's very
Underground,
important.
Y'all.
I got some sound bites to drop if you don't mind.
It's very important that we figure this out.
Steiner screwdriver just ends it.
Steiner screwdriver, you know what's coming when he says he ain't getting up from this. Starts making that comeback. Waffles Tejano with a chair shot to the head, which you don't see a whole lot of these days anymore.
And when they're used right.
Exactly. Clobbers him with that steel chair. Reverses another powerbomb attempt into that discus lariat.
Beautiful discus.
And the Steiner screwdriver seals the victory, gives Cage the unique opportunity.
Come follow me in my
but
office.
But of course, yeah, Dario being like the troll-ass boss that he is, is like, no, you know this unique opportunity that we've been hyping for like weeks and weeks and weeks? Yeah, none of these people are going to get to see it. Let's go in my office. You'll get to see this when it airs in like a year.
Oh, good stuff.
But... going into his office, I was so excited. I was going to be so bummed if all that happened
and this
wasn't the post-credit scene. It's going to be livid.
Disappointed!
But before we get to that, we know for next week we've got locked the Mac taking on Johnny Mundo for the Lucha Underground Championship.
Return
as well. It is going to be the return of the Mac. Rachel will be very excited. And it will be Sexy Star taking on Mariposa. So two matches to look forward to. Hopefully we get exactly. Hopefully we get more of that. Hopefully we get more Ricky Mandel. Hopefully we get more Vinny Massaro. Who knows?
Just getting Ricky Mandel wandering to the ring during their match.
That would be absolutely.
Oh, what's going on over here?
Just like he happens to find himself wherever he is.
This isn't the way to Mr. Quaid.
Like, he takes
the long way.
He accidents himself through life. Like, he's just constantly surprised at his surroundings.
Found this trail of breadcrumbs that led me to the ring.
He's like, what we're pitching is Ricky Mandel, like, as a baby.
What, he's like, he's like, ooh, piece of candy.
Like, yeah, ooh,
piece of candy.
Ooh, piece of candy. Like, he just has no object permanence, is the thing. Like, you could play peekaboo with him, and he'll, like, kind of freak out and panic, because he thinks you're really good.
I got my thumb. Oh.
You need to get to a doctor, mister.
Mister. Watch out.
But let's go to Dario's office, because we knew this was coming. We've known this was coming for a long time. Like, we last saw this box a very long time ago. I can't remember how many episodes it was, but we're in episode 17, and I feel like it was fairly early in the season.
Yeah.
Last time we saw this thing. But Dario rewards Cage with his unique opportunity, which is a gauntlet, which Cage very hilariously and flippantly just kind of shrugs off.
It's so bad.
Damn it.
I love the power glove.
It's so bad. Is he saying it's so bad?
Yeah, it's so, so bad. God, like, that's like good bad.
No,
bad
in a good way. I feel like 90s bad. I feel like that was probably the first recorded instance of bad being used in that context.
No, God, no.
Was it so good.
That's the wizard.
It is.
It's you got 50,000 on Double Dragon.
You're the pan now.
You're the pan now, dog.
Get out.
You can fly. We're done. You can fight.
No. We're done.
But so Cage is not real stoked.
He's not feeling it.
He's not real pumped about this, and he says, "I'm not really much of a Renaissance fair guy," which is like such a hilarious way to shut down the guy that's like basically the devil, like the cocaine fueled devil is what Dario is. And, like, Cage just, like, he basically just says, shut up, dork. Yeah. And, like, is about,
nerd.
is about to get out of his office.
He's about to shove him in a locker.
Exactly. He's about to give him, like, a swirly. Somehow his hair would be less wet than it is. But Cage, Dario manages to convince him to stick around and at least try it on.
Just try it on.
And at this
point, matches your eyes.
At this point, I was trying to think of, like, what could Cage be thinking, like, that he agrees to this? Like, okay, fine, I'll try it on. Like, and what? And then take it off and just be done? Like, did you think nothing was going
to
happen?
He could have just been like, hey, we need to take some publicity photos. Right. You know, something like business related.
We need to get some shots for the calendar. Like, at least, just hold it up. Just hold up the gauntlet. Just say, now I'm playing with power.
Mr. Cage, I found this. I don't know. Is it yours? Does it fit you? Try it on.
Weird. Spooky.
Spooky.
Like, he even says that after. He's like, oh, I don't like it. But he's like, I found it in your locker.
You were just here when you opened it and gave it to me.
People say, you are a machine. This is metal.
This is metal. He turns it over. It's like, no, it's got your name on it. He turns it over. It's like a crappily written in Sharpie. Brian Cage.
It says Tejano, but it's crossed out and says Cage.
K-A-Y-J.
All that was missing was when he slid that thing on, and the graphic of the electric whatever was the He-Man, I have the power. That was it.
Guys,
that was the only thing missing from
this. I don't
know
if you know, Brian Cage was in an independent film.
It's so bad.
Called He-Man.
It's so bad. It's all shot in front of a green screen.
The wig that he wears is kind of gorgeous. Like, it's kind of, like, luxurious is the thing. But it's incredible. So I was very much...
I think it's called something Grayskull.
Fall of Grayskull.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I was going to say Attack of Grayskull.
Please go watch that. Please put that
on YouTube.
Please put that on your watch list right this second, along with Backyard Dogs, if you haven't seen that one yet. But he slips on this gauntlet. All sorts of electricity goes all over the place.
Yeah. And instantly he just... It takes over. It's like body parts.
Grabs Dario by the throat. Lifts him up off the ground.
You know what? I think I'll keep
this. But now we know. We know from those Lorenzo Lamas limo scenes that... Now I think I've got this right. That gauntlet means his body is going to be inhabited by some sort of god? Is that what we're dealing with right now? So that's two different people on this roster that are human vessels for actual Aztec gods?
Yeah.
What is happening?
This is Lucha Underground.
This is phenomenal, guys. We're on Season 3, Episode 17, and we're still, like, marveling at the stuff that's happening
every
on a weekly basis.
Every single scene is just like...
Oh, snap! That's this show boiled down to a soundbite. So it's absolutely incredible.
I hope we get some badass vignettes of him just, like, in the background, like, so how does this thing work? And he's just, like, punching through shit.
Well, that's the thing.
And he, like, lifts up the wrestling ring.
That's the thing. Those were basically Cage's vignettes just when he debuted.
Yeah.
Like
lifting giant monster truck tires.
Like, when he was not a godman machine person. Phenomenal. Mark, do we have time for some predictions?
You know what, Ty? We're running...
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah.
The light show.
Oh, no, we don't.
It's been so... No, we'll see you guys.
And he just hits the mute.
And we had just enough time for the long version of that soundbite. It's been so long since I've gotten that good theremin. Thank you so much for that. Now let's get into some predictions. Mark, let's... Just every time I say that, it summons.
Just keep playing it.
The soundbite. Mark, let's start with you, actually. Where do you think we're going from here?
God, I don't know. Like, I wonder if Willie going for the championship will be sort of the last bit of him and Sexy Star in the title picture. Mm-hmm. I wonder where Johnny would go with that. I wonder when we're going to bring back the Gift of the Gods championship. Or if that's going to be, like, before the mid-season break, which reportedly there is a mid-season break that's going to last a couple of months.
A
couple of months, supposedly.
Interesting.
And there's a recent story that came out that season 4 will start to shoot in fall of 2017.
Oh, my.
Because the break's going to be long, and because they have so much shot, they're just trying to stretch it out as much as they can.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like that, and then hopefully they'll just shoot 4 and 5 back to back. Either way.
Sure.
Predictions, not news and gossip. Damn it.
It's a little bit of both.
Just a little bit of both.
Sure.
But yeah, I wonder like where the Trios Championships are going to go. Uh-huh. I wonder. There's a lot. There's so much. The show is so dense.
Right.
I hope that we get a whole much more spooky. I want more Rabbit Tribe. I want more everything. I want more everything.
Absolutely.
Wait, aren't Space, Fire, and Fury still the Trios champs?
They are.
Yeah, but like
it's easy to forget.
They're not involved in any like major story. So I wonder how like if it's going to be them and the Serpent Tribe like going back and forth for the Trios championships.
Oh, okay.
And that's how we bring story into it. But I mean, until then,
a fellow checker, eh?
We haven't done that one off in a while.
Yeah.
A few weeks, maybe. Jimbo, what do you think? Predictions.
Well, I predict Drago making amends with the Serpent Tribe.
Okay.
Somehow.
Okay.
And like working with them, even if it's just to get Unchained.
Oh, okay.
And then to really like take out Cobra Moon and take her spot.
Infiltrate from the inside.
Drago Unchained.
Yeah.
Oh. How have we gone this long without ever saying that?
I've been off a couple weeks.
Oh, that's
a good one. I think we see more of the backstory behind Crane and Katrina.
Okay.
And I really want to see Ricky Mandel like just like at ringside like trying to take selfies with Mundo like while Mundo's wrestling, just like
he just like won a contest,
yeah,
and
like
is allowed to accompany him to the ring like once and
like,
just won't leave
all
him alone.
The rest of the Worldwide Underground is like, who the hell is this kid? And each one of them is like, I thought he was your buddy.
He's bigger than all of us.
Yeah, like,
that's incredible.
Neat pictures, mister.
I think I just want more segments like that where he's just like fawning over like photographs, like mimeographs, like he's never seen them before. I'm thinking, if we're talking predictions, which we are, thank you. I still think that Officer Reyes somehow might be involved with this whole spider deal. I don't know. I'm trying to think of how that would even work and who that would even benefit.
Do we have any tribes left? Or have they all been shown? Is there an arachnid tribe?
Well, I mean, like, we didn't know there was a rabbit tribe until Conan showed up.
So there's the rabbit tribe, there's the serpent tribe, there's the moth tribe.
Or is there?
Remember?
Because he was looking in the history book and he was just making it up?
Was he?
Am I remembering that incorrectly?
Maybe I am. I don't know. I feel like that part of Marty was always like legitimate. Like he was.
I think he's too rich not to come from like a long lineage of people.
Sure. But I don't know if any
and too
other.
Crazy.
I don't know if any other tribes have been like straight up identified.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's not like WMAC right Masters where there's a crest.
Right. Like exactly. Hakeem Alston
Great Wolf.
Hakeem Alston versus Chris Casamassa going for the friggin' Dragon Star.
Red Dragon.
So good. God, so good. Red Dragon, I believe, played Scorpion in the Mortal Kombat film in 1995, which also featured Hakeem Alston as the man that Shang Tsung
destroyed.
Stole the soul of.
He made one of my favorite noises.
Oh, that's exactly the sound he made. Oh, Mark, you're a brilliant man.
Hello.
So I think that's where we're heading. I think Jeremiah Crane is a ghost. I think Ricky Reyes might have something to do with the spider thing. I don't know what yet. I don't know. But I think eventually we're going to have a clash between Cage and Matanza with a battle of the Godmen. The temple's just going to explode, a la Mortal Kombat Armageddon. Not like a great game, but like the opening cinematic is pretty dope.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. Yeah. Really quickly in chat, we've got ZeroCool666 saying,
Hack
Moth,
the planet.
Moth, Eagle, Jaguar, Rabbit, Serpent, and the last two are rumored to be Death and Deer, which we got a couple people that can represent that tribe.
That's very true. That's very true.
Deer would be...
I'm thinking King Cuerno.
King Cuerno.
Where the hell has he been?
Where has he been? That's a good question.
Interesting. So wait, so what? Those tribes again, Jaguar, Rabbit.
Moth, Eagle, Jaguar, Rabbit, Serpent, and the last two rumored to be Death and Deer.
Interesting.
And that's if Moth is actually a real tribe.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure. I think Marty's a lot of things. I don't think he's a liar.
Yeah, but he's crazy.
The Death Tribe would be dope.
And the Eagle Tribe's probably all the high flyers, right?
The Death Tribe just like wears like JNCO jeans and like listens to a lot of like Mudvayne and stuff.
JNCO jeans.
And like they wear shirts that say like, oh, like I don't hear voices, you do. Some shit like that.
Don't piss me off, I'm running out of places to hide the bodies.
There you go. You
they
got
just
it.
Have all their stuff from Hot Topic. Basically, it's like whatever the Hot Topic was selling in the early
Hot 2000s.
Topic,
the tribe.
They got the big pants with the suspenders.
That's what
attached
I mean.
To them.
And the trip pants. Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Guys, this,
what an episode.
This was very fun. This was a blasty blast to talk about. But we're going to be right back here. Same bad time, same bad channel, next week with Rachel Evans in tow. The whole squad back together. In 2017, talking about season 3, episode 18. Things don't always line up, you know, time's a flat circle, whatever. But until then, Jimbo, where can they find you?
Follow me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth. Buy my documentary, The Young Bucks Too Sweet Journey, at highspots.com. Check out the Xpoc 12360 podcast. And yeah, I'm excited for more Lucha and more craziness of Lucha, because you never know what's going to happen next week.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, he put on a gauntlet this week, and he lifted Dario off the ground.
It's ridiculous.
It's so fun.
Mark Donica, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at Mark V. Donica. I host a whole bunch of types of shows here, wrestling, anime, animated.
Yuri on Ice.
Yuri on Ice, mother effer. Yeah, we do.
I don't know what that is.
It's a very popular anime. Anyway, okay. Regardless. Xbox 12360, Luchando con Lili Garcia, and Making Their Way to the Ring. We have a lot of great wrestling programming here on AfterBuzz TV, Raw, SmackDown, NXT. Check it all out. If you love wrestling, you should love us.
Check out those programs. Speaking of which, you can also find me online at Ty Matthews PMA, as well as on Monday nights on the Monday Night Raw After Show. You can check me out on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Saturday, 4 p.m., KDOC, YouTube America, TEF TV, Fight TV, Patreon. Check those local listings. But guys, until next Thursday night, Viva la Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.